Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject today, the issue today. Have we lost our republic? The intro and the monologue thus far, we've talked about the conversation that will be had with the parents and grandparents, with our kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, talking about what America used to be like when we had freedom in America. Ladies and gentlemen, there was an America where our constitutional republic and our Bill of Rights were honored and our citizens were free, and any force of vaccination was no such thing, never heard of. We were free of any forced vaccination, any forced church closing, any forced business lockdowns. We were free of the thugs and with badges threatening free Americans with arrest if they go to school board meetings and challenge the school board with the pornographic material being shown or given in our schools. We were free at one time, ladies and gentlemen, to stand and to have gatherings without being intimidated. We're free to stand and speak because of our Bill of Rights, the freedom of speech, the freedom of assembly. But ladies and gentlemen, those days are gone, in my most humble opinion, without any retrievability possible. I believe that our republic is gone today, ladies and gentlemen. It was Ronald Reagan that said, "The death of freedom in America." Let me just read you a few lines from an article about that. Ronald Reagan warned us that unless we fight for liberty, we would one day have to explain it to our children. Today, we have to explain to the younger generations what it was like when freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and freedom of the press, even to be secure from unreasonable searches and seizures, were cherished in America. So will the American people fight for their liberty? Or will we just sit by and watch it destroyed? Ronald Reagan says, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way that we can inherit the freedom that we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, and defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-thought lessons of how they, in their lifetime, must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children, our grandchildren, and our children's children what it once was like in America when men in America were free. Ronald Reagan, from his speech, "A Time for Choosing," was the title of his speech. Ladies and gentlemen, we're there today. The Bible is very, very clear that as Christians in particular, we ought to pray for those that are leadership in our leadership. In fact, in 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verse 1, the scripture says this in verse 1 and 2. "I exhort you, therefore, to first of all," that is prior to protos, number one, "first of all, there be supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks to be made for all men." Notice in verse 2, it gives a determinative statement. "For kings," we're talking about now the continuing thought, a semicolon at the end of that first verse, "praying for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is saying that we need to pray for our governmental leaders. We need to pray for those in authority. And my prayer is simply, God remove Joe Biden. God remove Nancy Pelosi. God remove Chuck Schumer. God remove those that are doing things that are antithetical to your will and your way and your word. Take those out of leadership roles, ladies and gentlemen, is what I'm asking God to do. Praying for our leaders, for those that will stand for truth, stand for integrity, stand for our Constitution, stand for our Bill of Rights, those that will stand for truth. I'm asking God to retain those, keep them. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm praying sincerely that God would directly intervene through the power of His Holy Spirit, remove those that are undermining and tearing down and destroying our constitutional republic today. And there are many. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, it would shock us all to know the number of those that are literally practicing communists in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. Back about 10 or 12 years ago, I read an article that said we had over 100 at that time. No telling how many we have today. Those same ones that are serving in those positions of leadership in the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, ladies and gentlemen, multitudes of them have gone to our colleges and universities where there were atheistic people in charge, those that were that hate America, hate the Constitution, that are antithetical to anything that's called a constitutional republic, those that were literally communist in position of teaching, and they have taught these people to hate America and to embrace socialism, Marxism, and communism. Bernie Sanders is a good example. His honeymoon was taken in Cuba. He believes that the Cuban people and the Cuban government has a perfect form of government for their people because he says, and I quote, Bernie Sanders says that the health care system in Cuba is what we need in America. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll die in Cuba if you're waiting for a transplant, if you're waiting for some major surgery. But that's what our leaders are thinking today. And it's not just Bernie Sanders. AOC and a multitude of others have some of the similar thoughts and feelings that we need to ban God, dethrone God, divide the citizens. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we build back better by destroying the constitutional republic that we have today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned when we have thugs with badges threatening free Americans with arrest for going to school board meetings. I'm concerned when we have thugs with badges trying to say that those that will challenge the status quo, that they're domestic terrorists. And Merrick Garland, the Attorney General in the DOJ, Merrick Garland issued a summary statement by way of a notice to the FBI to start seeking investigation of all parents that go to school boards and challenge the school boards. Ladies and gentlemen, that's thugs with badges. Ladies and gentlemen, that's nothing less than totalitarianism. That's nothing less than the evisceration of our Bill of Rights. That's nothing less than the tearing down of our constitutional republic. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Do you agree with what I'm saying? Do you believe that I'm off base? Do you believe that there are other rational reasons that you can look at and say that it's okay? You'd be surprised how many Christians think that we need to sit back in silence. You'd be surprised how many Christians think that we just sit back and do nothing and God's going to do it all. Yes, God is sovereign, but God gives us intellect, mind, will, and emotion, and free will. God gives us and charges us with the responsibility to see that civil government obeys the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Government is given to us by God to be a servant of God, to prosecute evil, and to protect good, but it's totally changed today. So, yes, we are living in a different America. We're living in America today where we have thugs with badges that can then make a determination, a decision of who's good and who's bad. And it's based on whether or not we're conservatives, whether or not we're Christians, whether or not we may have voted for Donald J. Trump. That's the mindset. But, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a sad position today when so many people are silent about what is taking place and doing nothing in relationship to it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to touch on this, and then we'll take our next caller. Our mayors and our governors, as well as the president, simply are acting outside the rule of law. They're simply acting outside of the constitutional republic requirement. It is though our Constitution doesn't exist. Yes, we have lost our republic, in my most humble opinion. And ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very clear when we see what's taking place in some of the states and some of the counties by some of the governors and some of the local leaders. I'm looking at an article here that says, Governor takes over state's private businesses and mandates vaccine for all. It's for the state of Washington. The governor of the state of Washington has begun the process that could result in statewide mandate for all workers to accept the experimental COVID-19 shots in order to be able to get a paycheck. Across America already, universities, schools, and hospitals have COVID vaccination mandates even though an experimental treatment, even though it's an experimental treatment, those actions remain under court challenge in many cases. What you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, across America is there's perhaps as many as 100 suits against the Biden administration trying to get relief out of the courts. I'm here to tell you that I believe we're on the very verge, if having not already done so, to lose our republic in America today, our constitutional republic. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
As we watched the hearing with Merrick Garland the other day, it was put on full display. That's F-U-L-L, not just F-O-O-L. It was put on full display, their intent to militarize every agency of government against their perceived political foes. And I'm careful about my language because these folks have learned how to use the accoutrements of government to destroy their perceived political foes.
Yes.
Understand the language that Merrick Garland used, both in his letter and in the hearing, indicate that he sees U.S. citizens as adversaries. He sees conservatives as adversaries. And he used language like, threats of violence. Threats of violence, and first off, I've seen major threats of violence against conservatives. As a matter of fact, actual violence against conservatives that nothing was done with. And we watched during, last year's Summer of Love, we watched cities like Atlanta, St. Louis, Seattle, New York City, Minneapolis, Chicago, Oakland, Denver, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, Trenton, Atlantic City, Boston, Louisville, Bakersfield, Columbus, Dallas, Des Moines, Detroit, Los Angeles, Sacramento, Phoenix, and San Jose all have riots. In some places, they burn cities nearly to the ground. Is that a focus of Merrick Garland? Do we have the FBI running all over God's creation looking for those terrorists, those rioters? No, no. But those people that came into the Capitol on January 6th, those are terrorists, according to Merrick Garland. Those men and women that have stood and addressed their city councils and school boards appropriately, calling them into question for the misdeeds that they're committing against our children or against our communities. Those individuals are perceived by the left as domestic terrorists. How perverse, how perverse, how twisted. And keep in mind, as we look at Merrick Garland, if the Never Trumpers got their way, that man would be on the U.S. Supreme Court, and he would have two just like him as allies on that court for the next 50 years. They would have extreme leftist anti-constitutional decisions rolled out. We've seen all the way up to the Heller decision, we saw for 38 years that an unconstitutional gun ban was in place in D.C. for 38 years before the U.S. Supreme Court, before a case finally made it to the U.S. Supreme Court that struck it down. You know what a lunatic on the D.C. council said in the very next meeting? Well, my goodness, this last gun ban lasted for 38 years before it was struck down. Why don't we tweak the language and pass it again? Literally, these are people that the oath to the Constitution of the United States, it means absolutely nothing. To Merrick Garland, it means absolutely nothing. To the four or five women, your AOC Ilhan Omar, the squad.
And Tlaib.
There's Rashida Tlaib and that group. Do you think when they swore to support, protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, were they being honest? Is there fidelity? Do they stick to their word? Do they stick to the Constitution? Absolutely not. The buffoon in the White House, the resident in the White House that swore that oath, here he took to the podium and said, "We lack the authority to mandate vaccines." What did he do? He's mandated vaccines, unconstitutionally mandated vaccines. He knew that the CDC moratorium, think about CDC, moratorium on evictions. It was unconstitutional. The courts had already ruled on it, and they said, well, let's try it again. Matter of fact, by the time the courts rule on it, we will have already accomplished our mission. Well, they didn't know that the courts grant certiorari and hear it quickly, and 2.5 months ago they said it was unconstitutional. Again, these folks have no fidelity to their oath. They should not be in public office.
That is the crux of what we're talking about today, Greg. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our sons, Greg Youngblood. I'm always thankful to have him tune in, joining with us. He is hailing from the southern tip of heaven, as he calls it, up in the mountains in Tennessee. So, Greg, thank you for taking time to join us on this very, very, very important subject today about the loss of our constitutional republic. Do you know, recall Senator Ted Cruz's statement in relationship to the loss of our republic? It was in that session, if I'm not mistaken, with Merrick Garland, where he was challenging him. Could you recap some of that for our listeners?
I watched that. I've read and watched so much since that I could not articulate his exact words, but he had the most direct expose, if you will, of Merrick Garland and his lack of fidelity, again, to the Constitution. He made it clear that you have become political. You know, he drew a distinction between politics and law. I mean, the law of the land, and that's the attorney general, that is their charge, the law, enforcement of the law of the land, defense of the Constitution, and, of course, of the government. Now, they have an obligation to faithfully enforce the law. Matter of fact, in the Constitution, in Article 2, the President of the United States, one of his duties is to see that the law be faithfully executed. Faithfully executed also means equal enforcement. We can't pitch one group and say, you know what, we're going to enforce the law rigidly on you, i.e. January 6th. And we're going to, if we pick another group, let's call them Antifa and BLM. We're not going to enforce, and we'll just call this discretion. And that's what they're doing. Understand that?
Yes.
But they're picking winners and losers. And the left,
absolutely,
now, I mean, you step back in time a year ago, the left, under folks like Kamala, however you pronounce her name, she was helping to raise money, I should say, to bail people out. You know, you burned down a police station, let's bail you out. Did any of that money go to the victims of the rioters, the people that were burning down houses and burning down businesses and looting and burning down police precincts and taking over courthouses? You know, none of the money went to the victims. No, the money went to bail out the criminals.
Greg, you're exactly right.
If you
would hang on there, and hold your thought for just a moment. I believe we have Carol on the line. Carol, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, I get confused about the scriptures that tell me to, says he who seeks to save his life will lose it, or he who is willing to lose his life for my sake, the same shall be saved, and the other scriptures that talk about participating in Jesus' sufferings on this, in this life. And why am I trying to save my physical life more than my spiritual life? I don't get the connection.
That's a good question, but you're taking a unit of thought right out of context and trying to apply it in the society and the era that we're talking about now. Jesus is talking about our stand for truth and our stand for Him. If we're afraid, we want to save our life, and as a result of that, we do not stand for Christ and what He says in His Word, then we're going to lose the life. Now, it is not talking about that we need to be pacifist. It's not saying that we need to sit in silence. It's not saying that as Christians we need to, neither do we need to sit back and wring our hands in fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind and of love. Greg, would you like to respond to Carol's question?
Well, literally, we're dealing with an issue of government, good government, bad governance. And we have the scriptures replete with instances where government went awry, and the people of God had to either call it out or actually disobey. The civil disobedience of Daniel, the civil disobedience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that carries right on through into the New Testament, the civil disobedience of Peter when they told him, you know, no longer pray or preach in the name of Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He went out and did likewise again, like just like Daniel went out and did as he had aforetime and prayed when they were told not to pray. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, after the warning, decided, you know what, we're not going to bend, we're not going to bow, and guess what, they didn't burn. So, well, it's apples and oranges. It's a false argument, and I understand. I understand that the concern. We just have to apply these verses of the scripture in context and see if they're truly applicable to good government, or to, in this case, bad government. And we as believers, even stepping back to an Ezekiel 33 talks about the watchman on the wall. We have to, as believers, be willing to warn people. Now, warn people about bad government. Warn people about the evil to come. In the context of Ezekiel 33, it's when the Lord brings the sword, when judgment is coming. Guess what? The ultimate judgment is the ultimate thing that every believer ought to be concerned about. The fact that sin has a consequence, and that is death and hell. That's a warning that every Christian, that's why the Great Commission is important for every single one of us. That's the ultimate warning that we need to be giving, is that there's a hell out there for those that refuse the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
But yes.
That does not deny our obligation to shout the warning, to scream the warning when other evils are upon us, the culture in general as well as the church. So I'm screaming the warning. I'm screaming the warning today.
Yes. Carol, thank you so much for your call and for your insight. And keep on looking up, because our redemption is drawing very, very near. Thank you, and God bless you. I believe we have Joanne on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. It is my pleasure and honor to be a listener for your program. So right now, I just want to address more parents, especially those parents whose kids got involved into the incident on September 17th at the Bachman Trail High School in St. John's County. I needed to speak up about the incident. More parents are needed to show up at the school board meeting. Standing up, speaking up. So recently, lots of things happening in our public schools, like shooting, threatening, LGBTQ clubs. They are getting crazy in the campus. Even the teacher, the liberal teacher, got involved in. And the fire everywhere. We need more firefighters. More we the people need to get involved in the local level for our election integrity. More communicators are needed by writing to you or calling the elections and the legislators. More canvassers are needed to verify the information of the voters in South County and other counties, and some counties in Florida and other states too.
Joanne, you're exactly right, and what you're saying is that we have these issues that we're faced with even down in St. John's County, that parents need to stand up and speak up, and I'm thankful for your stand on it. There's a reverberation somehow with it, either with the sound behind you or coming in that's distorting. We can hardly hear you, but thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today. Keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. I believe we have Sean on the line. Sean, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey there, Dr. Youngblood. I just wanted to make a couple statements, more of a head-scratcher to me. How is it that the U.S. Can supply and mandate vaccines, not just for America, but around the world? But we have 25,000 people dying daily of hunger and starvation. Also, why is it that anybody can go into Washington, but they always seem to come out as millionaires?
That's a pretty good question. Greg, you ought to respond to that. I've got several answers, but I'll let you respond.
Yeah. Follow the money. It's been said for a few years now that we shouldn't necessarily be concerned of a billionaire that loses money by going into the White House. We need to be concerned about those folks that don't have two nickels to rub together and come out as millionaires after a term of service in the House or Senate. And many of these folks have been serving. Wow, boy, howdy, that's a twisted word these days. Supposedly serving our interests. They're serving their own interest. Been serving sometimes for 20, 30, 40 years. Look at your Feinsteins and your Pelosi's of the world, even your Mitch McConnell's of the world, and look at how wealthy they become in the Beltway. And you see how the money flows. Many times I've pointed out that the pharmaceutical industry has a 10x multiple when it comes to lobbying. Their representation as lobbyists there on K Street is represented 10 times more than the next highest expenditure for lobbying. Why do you think that so much is getting? Why do you think the folks lined up even with this last this FDA board? They just lined up, and all 17 or 18 on the advisory board voted to go ahead and move forward with these experimental therapies under the guise of vaccines for children from 5 to 11 years old. Now, just weeks ago, they voted like 16 and 2 against doing the boosters. Why the turn on that? Well, five of those folks are directly connected to Pfizer, so you know, y'all just kind of do your own homework on that. Yeah, right, in some form, fashion, or another, dollars are – so follow the money. Follow the money. And as you follow the money, you know, throughout, we're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars just on the vaccine front, and possibly hundreds of billions of dollars additionally on the treatment for the side effects from these, quote, vaccines. So, you know, following the money. I forget the first point that he had, but I loved your communication there. You hit the nail firmly on the head, and we're seeing chaos ensue because so few people are willing to do the homework that you've done.
Yes, absolutely. Sean, one of the things, too, that we find, people like Mitch McConnell, that's supposed to be a conservative, Mitch did not want President Trump in office. Mitch McConnell and the group behind him, with him, did everything they could to overthrow President Trump's term for one term in office. Behind the scenes, they did not want him to uncover the rot and drain the swamp, because Mitch McConnell and others like him have major, major, major revenue coming in from the Chinese Communist Party, and they didn't want that to be uncovered. That's the major problem today with people like Eric Swalwell and Nancy Pelosi, et cetera, is their stream of revenue that's coming in as a result of the fraud that's taking place in the cover-up, and we the people are supposed to be the little dummies that keep paying the taxes and allow them to squander it the way they please and make the money that they're making. You're exactly right, Sean. There's corruption on both sides of the aisle, both the Democrat and Republican, and corruption is permeating the society that is destroying our constitutional republic today. Sean, thank you so much for your call. God bless you, and keep on looking up. Our redemption draweth near. Greg, we've got about a minute and a half left on the broadcast. I'm going to touch on this, and I want you to respond to it and then close our program today. California In-N-Out restaurant shut down permanently for refusing to check customers' vaccination status. How do you respond to that? Were they right in making that decision?
I think one business after another ought to follow their lead and do exactly that. Say, folks, we're not going to be the enforcement agent of a tyrannical totalitarian government. We're not going to do it. Businesses, it's not your job as well. When you step into that arena, you also, I believe, take into yourself the liability associated therewith. And on the subject of the lack of adherence to our Constitution, the death of the Republic, I'll tell you right now, we've got an estimated 2 million people that will unlawfully cross our southern border from over 100 different countries. By the way, it only took 19 to carry out the acts of 9/11. So what's coming in the next 9/11? But the U.S. Constitution in Article 4, Section 4, read it today, folks, read it today. It starts out, "The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion." Are we being protected against invasion today? Absolutely not. Stand up today, speak up today, be heard today.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
91.7 and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.